This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by Lord Black, distinguished biographer, and a man who helps me understand Canadian history, especially right now in an election. There are weeks to go. The vote is September 20th. Justin Trudeau, the prime minister of a minority government, called this election 2 years before he must at 5 years. He faces someone I do not know of until Lord Black introduced him, Aaron O'Toole, leading the Conservatives, a man who represents the Conservative Party in Canada. The Justin Trudeau Party, the Liberal Party, has these last years guided Canada through series of crises, most recently the pandemic. However, in the polling, surprise to everyone, the little known outside of Canada, Aaron O'Toole, is now polling even or slightly ahead of the well-known Justin Trudeau, son of a prime minister. Conrad, a very good evening to you. You alerted us to this possibility some weeks past in your National Post column. However, because it's right before us, I've been reading to prepare for this conversation. So I need to understand two terms of art in Canadian politics, especially applied to Aaron O'Toole and his campaigning. What is progressive conservatism and what is red Toryism? Good evening to you, Conrad.
Good evening to you, John. Well, progressive, the official name of the Conservative Party from approximately 1944 to approximately 2002 was Progressive Conservative because it was a union of the traditional Conservative Party that was the leading party at the founding of the country as an independent country in the 1860s. And the progressives were in Canada, as they were in the United States, a militant Western Plains rural party that felt that the agrarian community in the West was being shortchanged by the more urban East. And you may recall, or your viewers, listeners would, that in the United States, the progressives ran as a party both under Theodore Roosevelt for different reasons in 1912, but again under Robert La Follette of Wisconsin in 1924, and they won Wisconsin. It was the only state they won, but they campaigned throughout the country and took a lot of votes from the Democrats, and President Coolidge was elected by a big majority. Well, we had a similar thing here, and the two groups, when they finally realized that as long as they were divided, they couldn't possibly defeat the Liberals, they united. And that was the Progressive Conservative Party until the Western faction again thought that it had leaned over too far towards the fringe of Quebec and was too liberal, small L liberal, for their taste in certain matters under Brian Mulroney, and they split up again. And when they reunited, the Reform Party replaced the old progressives. When they reunited, they just left it as the Conservative Party. So it's a historical evolution. In the case of Red Tories, those are what they'd be the equivalent of what were in the United States Rockefeller Republicans. You recall that how closely divided that party was between Governor Rockefeller and Senator Goldwater in 1964. Eventually, I mean, Eisenhower and Nixon could bridge the two groups, but it really came to a climax with Reagan, who defeated the liberal Republicans, the Rockefeller Republicans. He defeated them and of course was duly elected. And to some extent, George Bush Sr. would be the equivalent of a progressive conservative. But it's factionalism within a party. And, it's always a question whether stretching out a big tent to include more people will actually make you more electable or will fracture your party. And the conservatives in Canada have known both. As have the Republicans.
I come to Aaron O'Toole then. a man whom you've identified as recognizably Canadian. If I met him in the streets of New York, recognizably Canadian. He's modest, yes. He's unexciting, and he's a deft campaigner. If I read the
He's a common sense person. You know, he's Canadian. He's not colorful, but he's sensible, and he is a hard campaigner. I mean, he's an energetic, forceful man, rather a forceful speaker, quite bilingual, so he'll go over better in Quebec than some of the Conservatives have. But he's a tactician, and he ran twice for leader, and the first time he ran really as a red Tory, and lost to a man deemed to be a traditional conservative, Andrew Scheer. And then the second time he ran as a conservative Tory and defeated a red Tory. And once he achieved that, he then moved quickly back to the center. So he's I would say, an outright centrist, but he's done enough to keep the conservatives on side, but has made some original overtures to the center and center left, but that have not fractured his party. So I would say he's shown himself to be an astute tactician.
I read that Ontario is the dominant vote in Canada. How does Erin O'Toole do with the Ontario voters, especially Toronto?
Looking like he's made some substantial gains. You're quite right. The so-called Greater Toronto Area, which stretches from Niagara Falls around the west end of Lake Ontario, it's a sort of a horseshoe. That's 9 million people. It's a metropolitan area about the size of Chicago. So, but in a much smaller population. That's almost a quarter of the whole country in that metropolitan area. So it is very important. And the polls show that he has made significant gains in the suburbs of Toronto.
The reason I'm following this carefully is that it does resemble Richard Nixon's proverb about how to win the presidency. You primary to the right and you general election to the center, even to the left. And I see that Erin O'Toole speaks favorably of carbon pricing and speaks favorably of labor practices. Is that a surprise, Conrad?
Well, we didn't know much about him, so in that sense, it is a surprise. You know, he was just elected, about a year ago, I guess, and a little over a year. And yes, it is a bit of a surprise, but just because we didn't know him, he hadn't been in that position before. But he's finessed it, you see. I mean, the Liberals are still calling for carbon tax, which is easily pilloried as just a tax hike masquerading as saving the planet. It's really kind of hypocrisy, you know. It's just like a gasoline tax in the U.S., really. And O'Toole is giving credits for low carbon use, which is much less annoying to the voters. And if he is elected and puts it into practice, I have my doubts how much revenue it'll raise, or how much of an alleviation it'll be to the voters. But I think it's a cleverer packaging up of something that makes a gesture for the environmentalists without annoying the very large number of people who don't like tax increases.
Justin Trudeau has not, at this point, answered Erin O'Toole's cleverness very effectively. Is Justin Trudeau still the presumed leader of the country now at this point, or is Erin O'Toole surprising everybody? We have about a minute.
Yeah, I would say O'Toole has been a surprise, and the Liberal faith that the country would show its gratitude for the way Trudeau handled the COVID problem as was predicted by me, not and others, has not materialized. In fact, I don't think he did handle it that well. Now, the Liberals shouldn't be underestimated. They have the best organization. They have a sort of pride of champions. They usually win in this country, and they're pretty good in the corners, and they normally pop out unpleasant surprises for their chief opponent. So this is judged still a more or less toss-up election, but it was widely expected to be a clear Trudeau margin advantage all the way through, and it certainly is not now. So he's slightly behind or even.
The West for O'Toole, Quebec for Trudeau, and the battle is in Ontario. Is that what to watch, Conrad? We have 30 seconds.
Roughly speaking, yeah. Quebec will for the Liberals will balance the prairie areas for the Conservatives. The far west, Vancouver, it's the third biggest city in the country. That's a battleground. Ontario is the biggest battleground, and there's a smaller battleground in the eastern provinces down near Halifax.
Conrad Black. In Toronto, the election is on September 20th for Canada, our best ally. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.